Well, good morning and a big welcome to you who are gathered here in St. Andrew's this Thursday morning and to those who will watch this service on Sunday. And a huge thanks to Derek, who's making it possible for us to meet together to worship and listen to God together, both in person and virtually. My name's Heather Williamson and Derham Cook is going to speak to us later. We're both licensed lay ministers, and it's our privilege to minister to you today. We're continuing our new series on the promises of God, and today we're hearing Jesus' promise of rest. But it comes in the form of an invitation. Come to me. So let's be quiet and recognize that we're coming into God's presence to receive what he wants to offer to each one of us today, each of us according to our own individual needs and situations. And now we'll stand to worship, and if you're able, we're going to sing our first hymn, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. Be with you.
And also with you.
We come from scattered lives to meet with God, let us recognize his presence with us. As God's people we have gathered, let us worship him together. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. So let us turn away from sin and turn to the Lord, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now Derham's going to bring our Bible readings, and then he's going to speak to us about the promise of rest.
Good morning. It's great to be with you and to be able to share together in looking at God's word and seeing what he has to say to us this morning. I'm going to read the reading from Matthew, first of all from the NIV, the New International Version, and then I'll read the same reading from the Message, which gives it us in a more modern uptake and just helps us to look at it from two different sides. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy on you or ill-fitting. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So may God bless his word to our hearts. Shall we just ask for his blessing and his help before we continue? Father God, we thank you that we are able to come into your presence and know that you are with us. We thank you for your word and for the power of that word as it's presented to us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to learn some new thing today from these verses. Speak to our hearts and help us in whatever need we may have. Lord, we just bless you for your love and your care and your understanding of each one of us, for you are a personal God. And we give you our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, so we are thinking about rest and how the body is necessary and important to accept and to enjoy rest. It's a healthy thing. And if our bodies are not restful, but rather restless, then we have difficulties in our lives. If our minds and our souls are restless, if we don't have peace, and we're fearful or trembling, or involved in something which is concerning us, we find that our bodies are restless because we cannot really just sit down quietly, we can't think properly, because what is on our mind is determining our actions. So these things have to work together. And in these verses, Jesus invites us to come to him and to share our lives together with him. It's wonderful to have a personal invite from Jesus, the Son of God. How that should make us feel to know that that is possible. So first of all, we think of the word that he mentions, come. We feel the need and the effort, and that's why we should come to Jesus. Having felt weary and burdened with the stress of life, having tired minds and souls, carrying the weight of our stressful living, caused by ourselves in part, or living in a fast-moving world of technology, or having the care of others. All these things can crowd in upon us. But Jesus says, come. It's an invite. It's also a promise. He says, if we come, we will find rest for our souls. That's our beings, our very selves, who we are. We can actually know rest for our souls. That's a promise from Jesus. A bishop of North Africa said in the 4th century, "You have made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until we find you." So talking about God, he's made us for himself, and we are restless until we find him. And possibly that might have been your experience in your life until you came to know God. There was a restlessness, an unknowing of what life was all about. So how do we find this rest? I suggest it's by walking with Jesus and allowing him to share our load. He says we can share his yoke, and therefore he can help to carry our burden. Why? Because we're joined to him. We'll find it hard to stray when we're joined to Jesus because of the yoke. He shares it with us. We can talk and listen to him. Notice it doesn't say that Jesus will take away our problem, but rather he will share it with us. And that's a great difference. And we can know his strength and his guidance rather than rely on our own. So walking with Jesus and sharing that yoke is a way of knowing his care. How much we need to learn to talk and share the matters that concern us. Just as we should in married life or in partnership with someone. That's something I've had to learn, and my wife has been very good at helping me to come to terms with that thing of not telling other people about what your problems are, but just keeping them to yourself and thinking that you can cope with them. In so much that when I was in business, and there were times when things were difficult, I'd come home and say nothing. And it became difficult because we didn't share the things that were happening. And in her gracious way, she decided that she would bear the yoke, or share the yoke, and come into the business with me and help in all that was going on, so that she had an insight of the things that were the stressful things as well as the good things. So it's all to do with sharing. And it's not always an easy thing to be able to do. So we find rest by walking with Jesus. We also find rest by learning from Jesus. His response and sharing will be kind and understanding, or as it says, gentle. For he knows what life can throw at us, because he has walked this way before. He knew what it was to be hated, to be betrayed, to be denied, to be lonely, to be misunderstood. What does it say in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15? For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet being without sin. Referring to Jesus, of course. In Romans chapter 6, we read, we are under grace, we are forgiven, freedom from judgment. So there are many things that we needn't worry about that perhaps we do. Our future, as we've trusted in Christ, is secure. He has promised that. And we can come to him in whatever state we may find ourselves. In the book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, we do not need to carry a yoke of slavery or of bondage. Our yoke should be the yoke that Jesus is willing to share with us. And he says about this yoke, my yoke is easy. That means stops our falling away from Jesus. There's no pressure, but he is there to share and to help. And he says, my burden is light. So it keeps us walking uprightly, not burdened with a load of problems. So don't keep things to ourselves, because we'll be weighed down. Some of you may remember the story of Pilgrim's Progress. And this was the story of a man who was burdened in his life with all the things that had happened. And he needed forgiveness from God. And it was when he came to the cross in his story, and he bowed before the cross and recognized that Jesus was to be the Son of God, that the burden fell off his back and he felt the load was gone, lifted. Christ understood him. Christ could help him. Christ was dying for him. Christ rose for him. And here he could trust in this one, someone he could believe in. So what peace or joy we can really know when we've come to Christ, when we bring our burdens to him that sometimes still amass ourselves in life that shouldn't really need to be there. What anticipation of a different way of life this would be as he looked at Jesus upon that cross and believed in him. It's good to come to an understanding of Jesus' invitation, Jesus' words that we have in Scripture, before we really need to apply them. Because sometimes when we're in a crisis, we're not in a state of mind to listen. A friend could come up to you and say, you know, the Bible says such and such and such, and I think this verse is suitable for you. But we can't take it in. We can't think straight. But if we've already looked at God's word and we've perhaps even learnt some of the promises of God, then these we can find perhaps a little more easy to apply in our situation. Otherwise, we lose out. So what stops us from coming to Jesus with these burdens and these problems? Perhaps it's because we think we can find our own way out. Or maybe we don't want to feel that we're weak and incapable of handling life. We can get hung up on both those things. But Jesus just says, come. There's a verse in the Psalms which I'm just going to give you the heading of it because I know Heather's going to read it. But I also had it written down in my notes in Psalm 62. The psalmist says, my soul finds rest in God alone. True rest and hope can only be found in God alone because he has all the answers and he has the power to support us and to help us by his Holy Spirit. Now I know that so many people go through so many different hard traumatic things. Even people within our own fellowship, even now and during this past year, have lived through some horrendous situations. And it seems a little bit sort of fickle to say, come to Jesus and he will give you the strength to overcome. It has to be done in that right way. First of all, we have to show love and be prepared to listen as we do to Christ. But if we can come to him in our need, he's able to bless us and to strengthen us. We may not always trust others with sharing our thoughts. We have to feel that people are reliable in keeping things to themselves. But we can trust Jesus because he really knows the truth about our situation. Job said in all that he was going through, I have no rest, only turmoil. Christ doesn't want us to live in turmoil. He wants to know peace of heart and peace of mind and peace of soul that we can really live life as he intended. We are told also about a further rest, a rest for the people of God. That can be you and me. It's a quality that Jesus shares and can be given to us now as well as the future. There will be a rest when we come into the presence of God finally. And this now is just the beginning of knowing the rest that Jesus offers. Just as he offered everlasting satisfaction to the woman at the well because he said he was the water of life. Just as he could give satisfaction to those who are on that hillside needing food and he could give them the bread of life. He was the bread of life. And just as he said to many of his followers, giving them hope that he was the resurrection and the life, also he can give rest. There's an old hymn which you may have heard revived lately. It was written in the late 1800s by a man called Horatio Stafford. And he lost a fortune in his business in Chicago through a fire. And after that he lost a son with scarlet fever. And then a shipwreck on the Atlantic one day through a horrendous storm. He lost his four daughters and only had his wife left. And so, having been through these horrendous troubles and loss in life, he wrote that hymn, "When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." And to him, he realized just how important it was to know that it was well with his soul before God. Or you may feel like a group of Jewish people who were hiding from the Nazis during the war, and it was found written in the cave in which they were hiding, these words scratched upon the side of the cave: "I believe in the sun, though it is late rising. I believe in love, though it is absent. I believe in God, though he is silent." That may be your experience. That may be just how you feel now. And you find it hard to really come and bow before Jesus, the Son of God, and know his power and his strength and his sharing that yoke, that understanding that he has of you and your situation, and that he can walk through it with you, and at the end you can know the peace that only Jesus gives. So when we talk about rest, we talk about rest of our body, our souls, our beings. Let's just remember that there is one to whom we can always go, even Jesus, the Son of God. Amen.
Thank you so much, Durham. Let's allow the words that Durham has spoken and the things that the Lord has been saying to us just to sink into our hearts and spirits. And I invite you to listen to this beautiful Celtic version of a hymn which talks about Jesus inviting us to come for rest and how he is the light of the world and he can quench our thirst. I heard the voice of Jesus say, As we come to prayer today, let's listen to the words of Psalm 62, verses 5 to 8. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. So now we're going to pour out our hearts to God in that knowledge that he hears, he knows, he loves, he understands, and he wants to bless. So first of all, let us pour out our hearts on behalf of whoever needed that air ambulance that landed during our Thursday service. We pray, loving Lord, for the paramedics, the family, the person who needed the help at this time. We don't know the details, Lord, but you do. And we pray for your blessing, your healing, and your strength. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let's pray for our Queen and the royal family, as she has so recently celebrated her 95th birthday, and as she mourns the loss of her beloved Philip. We thank you for her love for you, Lord, and her steadfast witness to your strength in her life. And we pray that at this time you will indeed be her strength and her comfort. And we pray that for her family too, and for reconciliation where it is needed. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our government ministers at this time, Lord. You know the messy business that's sloshing around at this time. We don't have to rehearse it before you. But we pray, Lord, that there may be truth, integrity, and wisdom at the heart of our government. And we pray for those who love you, who seek to speak wisdom from you into the situations that happen in the government of our country. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As we've heard that beautiful Irish rendition of the hymn, we think of the people of Northern Ireland. After the resignation yesterday of their first minister, and with the terrible resurgence of violence and sectarian conflict and all the adverse effects of Brexit on that country, we cry to you for them, Lord, and particularly we cry that there may not be any further development and increase in the violence. We pray for peace, Lord. We pray for reconciliation. We pray for that country. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord, we cry to you for the people of India. We pour out our hearts. We're so shocked at seeing the plight of the people of India, dying on the streets, driving round seeking just an hour's worth of oxygen. We pray for wisdom for the government, for Mr. Modi and for the medical staff. We pray that the aid being sent from other countries may reach the people who need it most. And we pray, Lord, that the people who perhaps are too little careful about the mixing and the sharing which spreads this terrible disease, that they may be wise and humble and self-denying at this time. So, Lord, we pray for your blessing on that country, for healing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We heard in the message version of today's reading about some who are tired and worn out and burned out on religion. We think, Lord, of our church leaders and for all the extra stress and challenge and burden that has fallen upon them in this last year as they've sought to continue to minister to their people in such changing circumstances. And we thank you, Lord, for Dave and Peter and Eddie and Helen, and pray for your blessing on them, for your renewing of their strength, their energy, for guidance and wisdom to find your way forward and the way that you want us to continue and grow and develop as your people of God here. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We've been thinking about the invitation to come to Jesus. So let us pray for those we know and love who haven't yet accepted that invitation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And for those who are on our hearts who need peace and rest and healing at this time, let's name them before the Lord in the silence. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. And as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our final hymn is one that we often sing at the beginning of a service. But I think as we've heard the Lord's gracious invitation to us and we've been aware of his presence here, this is a fitting way to end our service, acknowledging the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, who so much longs to pour his blessings on us. And again, I invite you, if you wish and if you're able, to stand and to sing, "Be Still, for the Presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here." wants to minister his grace to each one of us. No work too hard from him. In faith, receive from him. Would you like perhaps to open your hands to indicate how you wish to receive this blessing from our gracious Lord? And shall we say these words together? May God give to us and to all those we love his comfort and his peace, his light and his joy in this world and the next, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us now and always. Amen. If you've been watching this service and it has touched you and you would like to talk to somebody at the church to receive prayer, you'll see the information about the church website at the end of this service, and we would love to hear from you and to pray with you. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, Amen.